bring mine, I forgot it.
They all sign like that.
They're all signing.
How do you raise your damn chair?
Okay.
Feel like a little kid in kindergarten, man.
So you got the benches figured out?
No. It was already figured out.
It was, okay, good to know.
We ready?
You're the president.
The meeting will come to order. Today is Thursday, September 17th, 2015, and it's 6:05. Stand for the pledge of allegiance, please.
A pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I did that last time, including our father.
When's the last time you been in church?
Divine intervention, they call it.
You're asking for forgiveness.
No, I haven't got that for you.
Okay,
What'd you send me?
Roll call of officers. Board member Valera?
Present.
Board member? Board member Dolores?
Present.
Treasurer Hernandez?
Here.
And Vice Chair Ramos?
Here.
Item one, certification that the agenda was posted at least 72 hours before the meeting at Shaw Market, Biola Community Center, and Biola Post Office, and was signed by the Secretary of the Board, Elaine Cervantes, and was acknowledged to the Board President as being correct.
Yes.
Okay. Number two, addition to the agenda, regular meeting, September 17th, 2015, do I hear a motion?
I make a motion we adopt the agenda for Thursday, September 17th.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Request to address, item three, request to address the Board. This portion of the meeting is reserved for members of the public to address the Board on items of interest that are not on the agenda and within the subject matter of the Board.
I don't know if it looks like we're on the agenda for the benches or not, but you see behind us, we have benches came in trash cans. And we took them out center of the town to see where would be best place, and came to the determination that the islands set the stage basically for the bench and the trash can. But what would need to be done is that we'd have to pour a slab of cement within that island to accommodate the benches and the trash can. Because if you put them right on the sidewalk, it just doesn't lend room for walking distance.
So you're going to have to take plants out?
You'd have to take some plants out. Now, remember, those islands, the irrigation is on a hose, basically. So that hose can be moved, you know, whether left, right, whatever, or extended or whatever. But you'd still have plants around it because it's that big. You just wouldn't have plants covering the whole island. So we would need a slab of cement.
That's just on that one island on the south?
There's actually a total of, there's probably four main islands in where the liquor store is, and the northwest side and the north, and the southwest side. Both, anyway, we sent some pictures, and I think you got them.
I have them. I haven't looked at them yet.
And anyway, and then we went back today, me and Philip, and then we kind of placed them also near the light pole. And they actually look really nice as well. They lend the light posts and the sign, the Biola sign, it looks really nice. So even if we had at least two.
Is it less cement that you would use by the light post?
What's that?
Would it be less cement?
It's going to be the same regardless, but you just have to put it in the actual island. Wherever there's plants or whatever, you have to take out some plants and put a slab of cement, because they have to be bolted down. And the good thing about that is that you can set anchors in advance, so when you set the bench down, it'll be much better than rather than digging or drilling holes in the cement, taking a risk of it cracking or anything like that. And plus, there's not enough room on the sidewalk for people to pass by. So those
the slab would be from the cement to the curb, correct? That's what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we would like the board to really consider that, and we'd like to still try to get that done before Razor Day.
So just to be clear, the chamber is going to pay for all this concrete work?
We have to go back.
We have to go back, obviously. I mean, okay. We're just bringing this out. I mean, you know, we spent almost,
$5,500.
$5,500. Yeah, closer to $6,000. Yeah. I mean, shipping, so.
Yeah. So... okay.
How about if that was just another thing, because I know you guys ran into some problems. If you were just to put two on the downtown, and then maybe the other two, like by the post office where people would actually use them, or by the school.
Right, and that's where I'm in agreement as well. We took a second look today with the chamber president, because we originally agreed on having all four, you know, one in each corner. Mark's property and then Delgado property on the corner, and then the other two where the guys usually hang out and they're drinking. Well, I think that maybe the two on the corners, and then maybe like the other two would lend itself by the post office. Yeah.
Or by the school where the parents.
Yeah, well, a little closer to where it's right where the lamppost is. It would look really, really nice. Again, the board would have to act on this pretty quickly.
You need permission?
In order to get this accomplished before Raisin Day. Because that's the goal, is to have this in place before Raisin Day.
It's been municipality's property. We would have to have permission from the board to say, okay, you can put some concrete where you need it or where it's approved. Because you can't just go out and do it. And other, to your point, to putting one by the school, the chamber elected for the downtown area. All the schools, a wonderful idea. Maybe that could be project two. But for the time being, that it was initially designated for the downtown area.
Well, I understand that, but because you guys ran into some problems on how big they are, maybe that'd be something they can maybe reconsider and just... So they don't waste too much money on cement.
No, that's just a slab of cement.
It's a whip.
Is that whole area they're going to cover?
Yeah, that'll be all concrete.
You don't have
to
go around.
Around.
Around. It just lends itself to more to the flower bed.
Those benches are what, like 8 foot across?
That's where you can see the garbage can.
Huh? 6 foot? So you figure you'd have to go at least...
So you would just do...
You'd have to go at least 3 foot. 3 foot by 8 of cement.
Right.
Correct. So, correct.
Yeah. On four different areas, correct?
Right. It might be even a little bit longer than that because you don't want...
I got it.
Because the flower bed, that's 4 foot or 3.5 feet wide.
I thought it was about 36.
You have to go all the way across. You couldn't just pour enough to put the bench and then there'd be walk
by March place.
No, that's why I say if you went 8 foot, then you'd go...
But we need
even
more
foot.
Because the can needs to be
anchored as well. Correct.
I thought it was 30. Well, I thought it was 36.
Just put...
I really don't know the length of the flower beds.
I thought it was about 3 foot, maybe more.
There would be just like 3 by 3.
You're going to just drill them in. Don't fill it.
Whatever the distance is.
Leave dirt underneath the bench itself and leave as much plants as you can.
So you're just taking out, I mean, rosemary that you have planted out there, I mean, it grows pretty good. So, I mean, taking out a little bit, ain't gonna hurt.
You can transplant somewhere else.
What did you say, Eli? You can probably do it without the cement?
Well, no. What I was saying is instead of pouring a whole slab underneath the bench, pour just enough for the legs.
I know what you're saying.
And drill it right into a small piece of concrete. You don't need concrete underneath the bench. And take out a minimum of plants and move a minimum of... irrigation.
Well, you really don't have...
We spent $40,000 on irrigation over there.
You don't really have to move any irrigation pipe. You can put it underneath the concrete.
Well, it's irrigation hose, just for clarification. It's our Asian host.
But the system cost about 40 grand.
Right, that's the system, but this right. We're talking host. That's very minimal.
Don't get Martha started now.
Yeah. I mean, Martha fought to get a sprinkler
there.
We're not going to need
well,
Martha was with us when we went out there.
Well, I guess my thing is it possible to minimize your footprint by doing concrete?
You can do that, but
little squares.
You can do that, but I think you still need cement to put your feet on, though, because you still have the decorative part.
It's the day after.
The day after the irrigation.
The only thing with those squares underneath the legs, who says that they can't just kind of wiggle it and lift up that piece?
Yeah, just put rebar down.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's heavy. They're 200 pounds.
They are. It's going to keep the people's feet out of the
way. We know.
Yeah. And then who says that with weather and rain and everything, that it doesn't seep down that concrete, and there you have basically a lopsided bench. That's the whole purpose of having a slab.
Well, so what you need permission from the board to do is to do that, is to pour concrete there and get it done.
You need four areas of at least 42 inches by 8 foot, to be honest with you.
Unless you change your mind and put one by the post office, then you won't have to put cement.
Well, you can't do it by the post office, unless on the sidewalk, because that's private property.
You could put it by the flower bed.
It's still private property, though.
Still private property.
No, the flower bed. On the sidewalk side.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Which would be south of the
post office, the alley.
But I think that's a great idea because a lot of people, especially our elderly people, they go and they congregate around the post office. They have no place to sit. The idea is maybe they would walk over to the bench and sit for a while and visit. And
I would like to suggest that we, after we complete our sidewalk project that we've applied for, because if we've got sidewalk from the post office to E Street on the east side, we could build a spot in for benches there.
One more, if I can add to that, we're hoping and praying that these benches become very infectious. And four is not enough now. Before it was like four was like great. Now it's like, oh no, we need more. So now we have momentum built for people to say, I'll be perfectly honest, I would love to buy one and donate it in memory of my mother. And I'm sure there's other people that potentially may be interested in doing the same for maybe a loved one or somebody.
And having a plaque put on their
name? Right.
That makes
sense.
And
of course, if you donate it, they come that way too. So that being said, I think I really feel like this is going to become infectious, and maybe it'll also give different organizations, whether it be the chamber, the VFW, or the nonprofit, or the municipalities, motivation to say, hey, this is really nice. We want to keep building on this. Is what we're also hoping for. And there wasn't a single car that did not pass by and break their neck. And people say, hey, what are you guys doing? Who are you guys? And
they really asked you that?
Who are you? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, Rick Parker built that house over there.
So people are very interested in what's happening in this community. And when they see people helping themselves, usually people want to get on board with something like that.
So we're building the bandwagon.
Build it.
So Dwight, do you think we can modify the piping underneath there? I mean,
I don't know that we would need to do much, to tell you the truth. I think it'd be pretty easy.
If you go that route, but if you're gonna do it, to me, if it was me, I think I'd do the 42x8.
You want to do the whole slab? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that what you're saying would work. A 12x12.
But the other issues that Philip brought up are still
issues. You're sitting there on the dirt or the whatever.
Right.
Because that PVC pipe is you can pour over the top of it. It's not going to hurt. Just got to dig deep enough where you can put it down a little bit deeper than what it is. And maybe you only have to do that if they did it right. Supposed to be 2 feet underground.
In essence, what they need, the chamber needs from you guys is a nod of the head. It's not on the agenda to be asked for approval.
You can entertain a motion to have it included.
But, well, we theoretically, what we should have done is added that to the agenda when we adopted the agenda. And
so
technically
it
added it. Well, no, I think you can direct me to give them permission, if that's your wish.
But my understanding is we'll probably have to pay for it.
I mean, I don't think they're going to.
Why? My recommendation would be the chamber to pay for it.
I mean, hey, I agree with you, Richard.
If you ask my opinion, I don't care who pays for it. Let's just get it done.
Right.
I mean, we're at this point.
You heard the chamber president.
Yeah.
Can you guys pay half? We pay half.
Yep. So, I just want to ask, I mean, we didn't measure, we didn't think that far to, like, measure, you know, if these benches were going to fit there, I'm assuming.
I don't think originally they were talking about putting it there. They were talking about putting in the cement until now.
On the sidewalk.
And the reason for that is because when we put it on the sidewalk, I mean, it doesn't lend itself to walk.
Well, there is, right there at the handicaps, there is room there at the handicaps. Might not be room for the garbage can.
Well, when Ray and I went out and looked at it, it had to do with which street the benches face when you're sitting.
Yeah.
You've got them so they're facing G Street, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
We were saying that you could almost set them so they're all facing Biola. If they're all facing Biola, you can pull it off on three corners. If they're facing Biola. But if you want them facing G, you got to go into the planters.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
But we looked at it and said the only way this will work if they're all facing Biola.
Well, there's planters and then there's islands. Yeah, the islands, there's a reason for those islands. It lends itself for plants or benches and garbage.
If you put them.
That's why we're here. Because we can't put them anywhere without the board's permission. So what you have to say and what your opinion is very critical because you're the deciding factor. We're just facilitators to try to help and to do something and improve the community. Yeah. But the reality is, it's up to you.
Well,
we can only give you our opinion.
You want a nod or what?
I just need you guys to tell me, give me permission to direct them to make it happen.
I make a motion that we direct Dwight to go ahead and stay in contact with the chamber to have the benches installed wherever they seem appropriate.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye. Okay, unanimous assent.
And you also would consider 50-50? I heard somebody say 50-50.
No.
That would not be my recommendation. My recommendation would be the chamber pay for it, but again, that's just my recommendation.
Thank you for saying that.
Okay.
Does it have to be seen?
No, on that concept.
We don't care.
Nice.
We don't care.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Gracias.
It's a big part of making this community better.
No. Anything else? Anybody else got anything to say? By the way, everybody sign the sign in sheet.
Will 50 of you sign in?
50. Item 4, consent calendar. Approval of regular meeting August 20th, 2015. Do I hear a motion?
Your motion is for both items.
Okay, both items.
Unless you pull something off.
Approval of financial report is of August 31st, 2015. Included.
You're still going to talk about B, right?
No.
No. Or is that something else? The conversation you and I had.
Well, that's not on the consent calendar.
Oh, no. Okay.
That's later.
All right. Then I make a motion that we approve consent calendar for A and B.
Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item 5, old business. Citizens on Patrol Town Hall Meeting 9-10-15 update. Okay.
Reyes Lozano.
There was what, 14, 15 to us?
21.
21? Yeah, because me and Rudy didn't sign in.
Might have been 22, but anyway, around there.
Yeah. But anyway, Anthony Robles and Tony and Sheriff's Officer Mailing were here and we discussed the ongoing problem with the drunks, and Jimmy, you were there, I think, and you know, he, the way he talked was, there's four officers out in this area, I mean, the west side. And if you take one of those out, that eliminates one guy. And if they have a problem, you know, with a, I don't know, whatever comes up that's a major problem, then take one guy's over there booking somebody because he's drunk here in town. So what they're trying to tell us is that, my personal opinion is that we don't matter, you know. I mean, that's the way I felt. Jimmy?
I took pictures. I got 8x10 glosses in the truck if anybody wants to see them. And they're on a poster board. But I took pictures, and it's cropping over to the market on Shaw also now, too.
Really?
And it's not a seasonal problem with the workers. It's a 365-day-a-year problem. And I told them that nobody's children should have to walk around and drunk to go to the store to get a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread for their children. His statement, mainly the actual sheriff himself, the K-9 officer, said that if he was to take time to arrest those guys and take them downtown and book them, he'd be tied up for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And what if they got a more important call? And my saying to him was, this is important to Biola. Okay. Doesn't seem like they're going to do anything. They kept going on and on and on about the people calling, and you know, I don't understand, you know. And he said, how are we going to get the timid people to come to meetings like this? I said, well, you've got some timid people, you have some illegal people that don't want to come, they're afraid, and then you have people that are just fed up and tired of calling, and there's no action. And you know, I mean, and I told him, I said, it's like you're talking to a wall. It comes a time when you have to go around the wall and find somebody that'll listen.
You know, I mean,
I don't think they're going to act on this unless we really, really pour it on them.
I made a comment to him that, you know, I understand him. If you arrest somebody, it takes away from his time, you know. But I told him, well, maybe it's time you start issuing, you know, citations for drinking in public. How long does that take? 15 minutes? Right. The most, plus you're there issuing it. You know, you start issuing tickets.
What did he say?
Huh? No, he didn't say anything. He goes, well, that's, you know, we can look into that.
You know, he was beating around the bush. All the time we were questioning him, including Anthony and Tony, they were all beating around the bush.
I think they have to be careful. I think they have to be careful what they say, considering that they were doing the sheriff's department. You know, because a lot of things can come back.
I don't know if they feel like they have to have the calls on the logs in order to act on it. Everybody has to start calling.
Well, that's the impression I got.
Acting on it, you know, that's what he acts like.
But the thing about it, I think.
Have you called in about it? Have you called in?
I think this board has a whole, since, you know, you represent this district. I think if you were to send a letter as a board saying that maybe the sheriff's department needs to start issuing citations for people that drink in front of the stores or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, they're all drunk. You know, I'm just saying that, I mean, you just can't go out of a store and start drinking a beer because, hey, it's not raisin day. Put it that way.
You know, there's a chronic drinkers.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a chronic, constant drinkers there. Mm-hmm. And then you got the guy that comes out of the field. He's all dirty. He goes in there, gets a plate of food, walks out, sits on the sidewalk.
He's also not, that guy's not the guy that's peeing on the wall.
No.
That's the guy that's had 8-9 beers there.
Yeah, the chronic.
If you drive by there right now, it's clean. It's empty. The store's been closed for 2 days. God rest his soul. But it's clean. There's nobody there. It looks nice.
Probably over here now.
I'm not being offensive. But the other thing, too, is I apologize. I missed that meeting. We had a Toys for Tots meeting. It was the last meeting of the year we could attend. We had to be at that meeting. So I didn't make that meeting. But that sounds like this guy talking about, well, that takes away my time because I can do something else important. Well, one, all you have to do is once or twice. The message will get sent. Yeah. They don't have to come over here every day and handcuff somebody and haul them in. Once or twice, and the message is going to be sent. And hey, don't go over there. You're going to get arrested.
Well, that's just like what I told him. You know, issue a citation.
Right.
You know, you issue a citation, it costs them, I don't know what it costs, maybe $100, $150 or something.
Yeah, but if they're too drunk, you think they'll hold on to that citation and say, I never got it.
But then it's an infraction of the law.
Well, you signed it.
Right.
You know? He signed it. He got it.
But the point is, you've got to start somewhere because it's become acceptable. It's even so acceptable that the cops won't do anything. That's how acceptable it is. It's not acceptable because Jimmy brought up a great point.
Yeah.
Where does it take place that you see it?
And how busy is the sheriff when he's talking on the phone back there by the vines?
Right.
He's right. Back there on the phone.
What?
Yeah. Eating donuts.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've been coming by just to take pictures. Mm-hmm. And I'm a bad guy right now, okay? I mean, when they see me coming in my diesel pickup, the beer goes behind them.
Can you email me those pictures, Jim?
They're in his truck, I think.
What? I need them digital. I'm going to send them to the lieutenant.
The other day I went through and I see the sheriff car, the little SUV, parked right there. And there's two guys sitting barely off of the liquor store wall right there. And they both had beers in cans in plain view, in paper bags, okay? The sheriff's in the store. I don't know what he's doing. He could be answering a call. He could be eating lunch. He could be getting a snack, a drink, you know? So I whipped around down by the raisin, back to the plant where I have a raisin day, and I come back. I want to talk to him. He's gone.
Was it the CSO? Was it the community service officer?
I don't think it was
Roblin's?
He doesn't drive
the SUV.
So it was a regular deputy?
Yeah, regular deputy.
In the SUV. Whoever drives a green SUV out there. But he was there. He was at the store. The guys were 20 feet away from where his car was parked. He had to pull in that way, so he had to see him drive right past him. And he's gone. And the guys are still sitting there drinking their beer.
You know, Dwight, I think maybe it's time for this district to maybe get in contact and tell them to start issuing citations for people drinking in public, you know?
Well, that's the exact conversation I had with Sergeant Wissett.
Yeah.
And because she told me all the same stuff. She says, you know, you take somebody out of the field for 2 hours to go take a guy down to jail.
Yeah, but it doesn't take that long for a citation.
And that's the conversation we had. I says, I don't care. I said, you got to start somewhere. You got to record that this guy was publicly drunk. And then if you do it again and do it again, then it's a different conversation if you got 5 citations. I heard her say that they were willing to do that. I spoke with Anthony Robles, and he said, after I had that conversation with Sergeant Boisette, the next morning, which was the day of the night meeting, she told him at the shift change, you guys, Biola's got issues, and you guys need to be heads up on this. And if you get any calls on Biola for public drunkenness, go out and cite them. That's what I understood her to say.
I think it's only right. Sorry.
Is this something you could? Can you send me these digitally? I want to email these to the lieutenant with the story. Because I would have to scan all these. That's why. If you got them digitally, you can email them to me.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Living Color right there.
You've seen them?
I've seen them.
Downtown. I know. 1,000 words.
Couple of months ago, he got stopped here, and they asked him, are you selling drugs? He said, why didn't you stop me just to ask me that? He said, oh, no, you've got to tell my aunt. He said, okay. So then when this person was with a baby gun, he was sitting in our house. So I went and told him to quit it. Well, he kept on and on and on. So I called the sheriff. They came within 10 minutes. It was 2 of them. Instead of going to our house, they went to his house. And he was out there, oh, I don't know how he was telling them. And then Isaac said, I heard him mention your name, you know, his mother. So then after they talk to him and everything, they come to the house, they call Isaac out. So Isaac goes outside, they ask him for his ID. And then he said, I call you, how come you come and talk to me first instead of talking to him? He said, and what do you want my ID for? He said, I remember you, and he said, how do you know it was me? Isaac said, because you're stupid glasses. You know, he got back and recognized that that day was a tool, the one that stopped it. Okay, they didn't do nothing. Isaac called the supervisor.
You did? He did.
He called the supervisor of them in Fresno, and he said, I want to talk to the supervisor in charge of the jails here in Bible. And he said, and he then told him, you know, he said, oh, we have so many problems with that man. He said, and I know who you're talking about. You know, the sheriff, he said, I know who you're talking about, to sheriff. We haven't heard anything of the shooting or anything anymore. So I think the supervisor got it.
So the problem stopped?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had called the lieutenant one time, and three times in 1 week, for her to return a call that I needed to discuss an ongoing problem. And by the way,
recently?
I did not explain to her exactly what the problem was. But I called and left it on her voicemail three different times. She never called me back.
Recently?
About 3 weeks ago. And a week after I had called her, I got a call from Robles. And I told him at the meeting the other night, no disrespect, I did not call you back because I don't think you can handle our problem. You're a community service officer, and I respect what you do, but I want to talk to somebody in charge. And if we have to go to an undersheriff, we have to go to Margaret Mims, if we have to, we go to Brian Pacheco, our supervisor. You know, I told him at the meeting, sometimes politicians listen better than people that are in a union. You know,
well, should not have to get to that.
You know, the sad part about it is that you drive through Kerman at night, and they're sitting at Fest Strip along with the Kerman PD BSing in the parking lot.
The sheriff?
Yep.
Well, that's not good.
The one, I was going to ask, the ones that were, the sheriffs that were here, is that who Jim was talking to?
Yeah.
No, the lieutenant is Kathy
Curtis. Oh, that's who Jim
Sergeant
Voice set.
Malin is a patrolling canine officer. Two different people.
Oh, okay.
But the canine officer was the one here.
Right. He was representing the sheriff's department. Oh. But even I heard at the meeting that he said, well, you know what, 2 weeks are moving. So hopefully whatever he took from the meeting will be passed on to the next guy. But he basically said, 2 weeks I'm out of here.
That's what he said.
Yeah. So how effective was it?
No, but what he said, he would write it down and give it to whoever takes over. I mean, that's what he said.
Raise your hand, please.
I do know that the sheriffs have a very difficult job because they have just one in the car, and they're trying to enlist some more sheriffs, but nobody applies because it's dangerous and people don't respect the law as they did before. So they just don't have enough people who register or who want to, you know, get a job and apply for it, but there's no one. And they're constantly advertising, and just like this one man said, I was a highway patrol for 16 years, but it took them a year and a half before they cleared me to get my job as a security officer. I said, oh my goodness, I didn't know that it was that hard to get into it. And he said, yes, the requirements are very high. One person could have a shooting or something over there, and that ties you up for a while. And if you have a drunk, you take them over there, and they're tied up for 2 hours. And there's so many other severe crimes committed. They have a big area, 6,000, I think, square miles.
Yeah.
One officer is.
Well, you know, but they're not. You know, it's a farce too, because they say well, there's only one officer. Yeah. But they hear, they go on the radio, and all they got to say is, officer needs help. And they get CHP, they get Kerman PD, they get whoever other agencies around. They congregate.
I'm going to tell you, I mean,
Baptists, so they're...
Well, even them, they are authorized to go across county lines.
I just feel that an excuse for not citing somebody or arresting somebody is I'm waiting for a bigger crime to happen.
And it never happens.
If I do that, I'm tied up for an hour and a half, and what if something else happens? Well, so be it, okay? You know, they roll officers, if this guy's tied up and he can't get to it, they roll one. I've had officers show up when I've had some theft on the ranch. Well, it was a real big problem. The scrap metal was real high. And they roll somebody else in there, okay?
Well, ag theft
unit.
Yeah,
but you know, we used to get on the before we could go in and administer first aid, they called the sheriffs and they went in first before we went in because they had the guns. We didn't. You know. But still, you know, there was only one guy on the fire truck, and he had to do just about answer the radio and minister first aid. And the sheriff just stood around and watched us do it.
I think the right direction for this district to take is to have them start issuing citations. That's a start, go from there.
But you know, they did ask us to call each time there's
something. That's true, he did.
So as many incidents that are reported there, eventually they'll realize that there are so many, but a lot of people don't call. And he said, if you suspect a group of young fellows or whatever gathering and you know they're going to do something, call it in and they'll write it down.
If somebody stole your broom, call it in.
They want you to call each time.
They did. He actually came out and told us that. Remember?
Yeah.
He told us.
He said to call, make sure they log it.
Yeah, they log it on. They log it in.
One thing that I think Rudy made a comment when he first went over looking at the pictures, it's the same people. And it is. You know, it's the same group all the time. It wouldn't take much to clean it up.
Yeah. But anyway, so much for that. Item 6, new business. Item A, Mid Valley Disposal regarding Biola cleanup newsletter, Annette.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Stand, sit, whatever.
You're fine.
No, you're fine.
It makes you comfortable.
Good. We do this, I don't know if you want me to present this every 3 months, biannually, quarterly, whatever you want me to do. We go to all the cities and we let them know how you're doing. I have a couple of extras here. What I do mostly in town is I go out and I do site visits to all the commercial accounts to make sure they're putting the right stuff into the right containers. I take pictures, I log it, and if there's something bad in there, I put a stamp on it, a sticker, tell the driver not to pick it up. So just to let you know that when you see me out here, I think I've seen Gabe a couple of times. I think you saw me lost a couple times. This is what I'm doing. I'm going through the dumpster. I'm checking to make sure everybody is putting the right stuff into the right bins, especially the recycling. Just to do an overview on the cleanup that we did here on the 25th of July, on the metal you had 2.54 tons, e-waste 2.25, the organics is the green waste, 1.38, but the refuse was a lot of trash, 8.41. And then I think we're scheduled for February for another cleanup. We had 75 cars go through, and I think out of the 75, we had, I think it was about 25 of them came back twice. There was a couple that came back like 3 times. Okay, no problem. As you can see, the tonnage for the first quarter, we've gone down, so I've got to get back out here and do a little visit and go to the, what I do is I, on the day of the service, I'll go to the residents and I'll see what they're throwing away. But the diversion, you can see the residential went down at 4%.
Is that good or bad?
That's bad.
Really?
Right, because you want the recycle to be more. Because actually, even in your home, you can have your waste basket can be just, because all you're going to be throwing away is food and styrofoam. That's it. A majority of all the stuff can go into the recycling bin. So what I do is I go to each of the homes and I put out flyers, because that's what we did when we first started with the program, when it was Sunset. I think what they did that time was a mailer. But I'll go door to door and I'll just refresh their memory of what can go into the recycling bin. And our drivers, just to let you know, that the drivers are putting a tag, a contamination tag, and I didn't bring a copy with me, but it's a long tag, and it will either go in the green or the recycling, that whatever is contaminated, they would need to take it out before it's serviced again. But what happens is the perforated bottom, and I get the bottom part, and I usually call Elaine or Florinda to get me an address of where that actual location is, and you know their P.O. box, so that I can send them a letter. A lot of times no one has a home phone anymore, so it's usually a cell phone, or I'll send them a letter. And you know, I'm out here a lot. I'm out here probably about four times a month, even more. I'll just go to their house, knock on the door, and say, hey, this was in here. And I know I was at one of the meetings when somebody came to me and said, hey, you put a tag on my cart. I won't say who it is, but this is what we do, just to inform. This is why I'm here. I'm here to answer questions. I'm here for the outreach, just to let you know that. I have a board like this, and I go to the schools and the preschools, and it shows the people at the recycling, the bins and the carts. People actually go through those. That's their job every day. It's on an assembly line, and all the stuff goes through. So, and they're touching it, and they're, you know, paper here, plastic here, cardboard. So you want to make sure that you're putting the right stuff into the recycling bin. But this is just, I do this, I will do this every 3 months. If you'd like me to present, and we can go on the next quarter. I'm working on third quarter right now. We can see if we improve, or we keep going down. You guys, come on.
Talk to me a little bit about that diversion percentage. How do you calculate that?
It's the trash trucks that come from here. They go back to our facility and they get measured, they get weighed, and that shows what the diversion is. Everything is weighed.
I still don't get it. What do you?
Well, the trash truck weighs a certain amount.
So the trash truck then is the organics residential and the garbage residential?
I think they're separate.
Everything's separated.
So
yeah, because one truck comes from one can, and then another truck comes from a truck.
Goes to get weighed is just organics residential?
Correct.
All right. So to get that percentage to go up, and what would an ideal percentage be?
Well, the green waste, you're not going to have a lot. Well, right now, because we're getting into the cold weather. So the green waste is not going to be that much. But we can do we can target on residential recycling. We need to get those numbers up.
Okay.
Organics, it's okay.
Organics is green waste.
Green waste, yes.
Okay, it's not household trash.
It's not household trash. Organics is basically residential green waste.
Okay, so the brown.
Brown grass, yeah.
Comment?
Yes.
Well, like here in other communities, we have recycling pilots. They're going through the recycling bins before you're getting there in the morning.
Right, and it doesn't really matter if the bottles and the cans. Yeah. You know, if they're recycling, that's great,
right,
because they're not going to the landfill.
Right.
You know, it takes, 400 years for a right. plastic bottle to decompose.
Right.
But we want it to be recycled.
Right.
You know, I think you have more important issues, because scavenging is against the law. Once a cart is at the curb, it belongs to us. No one's supposed to go through it. But in a perfect world...
Yeah, no, I know, but I wonder if that's some of your erosion, because it's constant.
Every town is the same way.
I know, in front of my house, every time I put the recycle out, there's cars that come and they go through the whole...
We have people with flashlights, like they do the miners. They do. They have the helmets with the flashlight.
Well, my point was, I wonder if that's some of the erosion.
The pyre's been active lately.
What's the number that we should be going through with the organic residential?
The organic residential, well, because it's a little bit more because it was towards the summer. It's higher in the summer, your organics. But with the cut and water, the watering, it's not going to be a whole bunch.
Okay, let's say with the garbage, what would be it?
Well, you want to be, well, see, look at the recycling residential. First quarter, we are at 25%. Mm-hmm. Now we've gone down to 23. So we need the numbers to go not lower, higher.
She's asking, like, I mean, we want it to be at
50.
Oh, okay.
We want it to be at 50.
Okay, so okay. 50.
In our perfect world, it would be 50.
Yeah, but, you know, trying to tell the people it's 50 would be the number.
Right.
That we want to...
For recycle anything. Mm-hmm. Residential, look at how much garbage, even the garbage went up.
10%.
And now we're in September, October, November. Starting the fourth quarter, you're going to see the commercial recycle, the residential recycling go up because of all Christmas and all the boxes. But you have to make sure we tell the people what they have to go into.
The blue containers.
Yes, the recycle, not the green, the blue. But. The organics is fine.
Cardboard, plastic, cans.
For organics, they were using plastic, a landfill to cover, and the cities would get a diversion for that. But now they're doing away with all that diversion for organics. And it's going to be down the pipe pretty quick that restaurants, grocery stores are going to have to do organics bed. Not only are we going to have the trash, the recycle, we're going to have one for green waste for food.
Oh,
they don't want you throwing the food away.
I know the citizens of Seattle are protesting because the garbage checkers are checking each one's garbage and they're being fined for putting the wrong things in the wrong one. I was just amazed. They're checking everyone's garbage and they're getting a bill. And
that's what I do in all my cities. I go around, and if you see me peeking in your trash, I'm not going to steal anything. But I do. We go with, we hire temps, and we go through and we break the bags and we look what's inside. And to the green waste and the trash, the recycle and the green waste, the organics.
Maybe the cops should take a page out of your book so they can enforce some of the laws.
I know.
Right?
But there's a suit coming up that's invasion of legal, I mean, private matters. So I don't know how it's going to turn out in Seattle, but people are protesting the fact that they are checking each one's garbage and charging them for big penalties.
I've been doing that for 12 years now. I'm looking in garbage cans for 12 years. I haven't gotten very far, but...
How many citations have you gotten?
In the city of Madera, they don't do citations for the reason that the water citations are very high. First offense, 75, 250, and the third is 500. So they did away with the citations for contamination. The only thing I can do is I can take away their carts. I have a legal right to take it away if they're not putting the right stuff in it.
What's the process for here? Or fine?
You don't have any. Oh. I could just go around and just keep telling and telling and telling. But at least the community's small enough that, you know, we we can have a hold on it. But just to let you know that, you know, all the events that are here that come, that, you know, that you guys have in Viola, that we're very happy to attend. I think I already put my car in for that.
The first one. The very first one, number one. Very first one.
So you're behind the horses.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're going to be in first division.
Okay. I've got a question. Okay. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I just wanted to publicly thank you and the organization for being such an active, cooperative business partner with the community that, you know, you mentioned. You're at the wine tasting. You participate in the Raisin Festival. You help with garbage bins. So if you could take that back to your peers and say that we're very grateful for the help and the participation you guys give to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I don't know if you guys know, but we had a death in our family at the Capacoffs. So, yeah. So it's been trying to keep the business.
Who?
One of the sons passed away.
One Joe, was it?
No. It was the younger son, Justin. So we're trying to keep the, you know, everything going. And, you know, the sponsorships, and if things were getting just a little bit behind, but now we're back on the groove. So I just want to apologize for that.
Well, I got a question. Waste oil, or the, you know, when you change oil in the car, did you find anything out about that? I think you were supposed to look into it, about recycling the oil. I mean, do you put it on the curbside or take it to a...
I put it on the curbside, and the driver picks it up and puts it on the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Oh, do you? Uh-huh. I didn't know that.
I've been putting it on the side, and they pick it up.
What do you put it, just like in plastic gallons
I
or something?
I put it back in the container where I took the other one.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that. I thought we didn't have a contract. Well, our contract didn't allow that.
I'm pretty sure the contract said yes.
No, I put it back in the container. I close it, and I put it on the side of the blue container, and they pick it up.
Just be real careful that you don't put it inside the containers, the cart.
No, I had it on the side.
Yeah, a customer did that, and when the cart went up, it hit at a very good spot. There was oil everywhere.
No.
I mean, everywhere on the sidewalk, on the cart.
No, I put it on the side of the cart where the driver can see it.
And
not
you can
next
put
to it,
the filters, too.
Yeah.
In a bag. I think the filters have to be in a bag.
I put it in a bag tied to the can.
Perfect.
That's what I did.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I have business cards here if anybody needs
one. Item B, approval of an agreement between DCSD and Fresno County for the 2014-2015 CDBG pipeline replacement project number 14032. E and G Street water lines.
Need a motion and a second.
Oh.
Okay, these lines run from where to where?
The E Street goes from Viola Avenue to 5th.
Which is the next block over.
Right.
Okay.
And
G?
Well, but half of that space does not already have a water line. So
it's not going to go all the way to 5th Street then?
No, it will. My point is right now, it's going to be, half of it's going to be a brand new water line connecting that whole block.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a teed in the middle of the block right now. So it'll be a new water line, 10-inch water line from 5th to Viola. And then on G, it's 3rd back to 5th. So you've got where the 3rd Street ended, and then you're going back east.
Do you recall what the estimated cost on that was?
$300,000.
That's for G&E.
Yes. Okay. We got $300,000 to pay for the whole thing, and we're hoping it comes in at $299,000.
Now, one of those pipes is just going to complete the circle, isn't it?
Correct.
Goes from... I mean, there's a water hammer there that's creating problems.
Right. So it's that whole E to 5th, or a long E from Viola to 5th.
So we need a motion on that?
A motion and a second.
I make a motion, we approve the agreement between BCSD and Fresno County for the 2014-15 CDBG funding, number 14032, E and G Street, water lines.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Item C, BCSD policy update plan.
Okay. Did you all get my document that I sent the other day? No. It's in the packet, but, or did this go by email after the packet?
That was after the fact.
So this would have been emailed to each of you. But this is one of the things we've been talking about doing is that our need to review all of our board policies. So in this document, basically I was explaining how we, the process. And what I would like is two volunteers to join me. And I kind of mapped out in the month of October, we do a third of the policies. In the month of November, we knock out the next third. In the month of December, we knock out the next third.
But that that 1,000 to 2325, is that an item number?
Those are policy numbers.
Okay.
Yes. I just looked at... Okay. In essence, we don't have... we've been asked on these new grants that we've applied for, send us your bylaws. Going bylaws. Well, the last bylaws were done in 1989, and they've got kind of handwriting on them, and so they'd have to scan those and send them off to the grant guys because those are our bylaws. And it seems to me that in the process of reviewing all of our board policies, we can also revisit our bylaws and create a new set of bylaws. Now, when Jeff was here, one of the things that he did is he paid CSDA $325. To buy the whole binder of policies. So we've got them. And then part of our membership service is when new laws are passed or whatever, they update policies, and those get, we can bring those to the board and adopt those or not. But the essence of what it requires is reading every one of these policies, asking ourselves, how does this apply to what we're doing? Some of them say, you know, they'll have policies on vacation time or sick leave or, you know, job descriptions or, you know, all these different things for anywhere or any organization needs. Well, one of the things, for example, that came up today in talking about, what was it? Oh. I was telling you about the issue with the elementary school, that our meters do not have backflow valves on the school side that they're required to have. Well, in anticipating the discussion with the school district, I'm asking, well, who pays for that? Well, the answer to that, it's up to the city's bylaws or the city's policies. You should have an ordinance that determines that it's basically, once it's passed, it's a law for our community. And so our customers then, by law set by us, are required to put those valves in to protect our system. Well, we got to wade through our laws. Nobody knows when the last time anybody... The board passed an ordinance that describes that situation. Now, you haven't been around a long time, might remember something like that. But we need to, we've been talking about this since I got here. And so this agenda item is a chance for me to discuss this with you. And my expectation was that the board was going to volunteer Reyes and Martha to join me on this subcommittee to, as the most efficient way, to block out a couple hours, you know, an hour or so a week, where we go in and together we walk through every line on every policy. And then we bring it back to the whole board, with our recommendations for amending them and then ultimately passing them. But it's a way to, it's kind of tedious, it's kind of boring, but it's important. So if we get into it and we find out we can go faster than this, then we could. But I, in taking a big job, it just seemed to make sense to let's just take a piece of it at a time. And by December, we'll be here before we know it, and we'll have it done. So my intention for putting this on the agenda was to the board to approve this plan and appoint two board members, and then after the appointment of those two board members, actually set a time to meet. And I'm thinking, pick a time next week. Just jump on this right now.
There you go.
So
it's going to have to be after 5 in the afternoon and in the evening.
We can work that out. But anyway, I need two board members to meet with me.
Well, I didn't have no choice. I didn't have a choice.
Well, I just volunteered you two, but it doesn't have to be. It could be Mercedes. I know you would love to do
that. Martha says she volunteered.
Okay.
Martha,
I'll do it.
She said what?
She
volunteered.
Martha volunteered?
Yeah.
She
volunteered.
She smiled, yeah.
She
nodded.
Oh,
I thought it was a
smile. But it is. It's important work. And,
I mean,
and
Martha does. If you don't want to do it, I'll do it for you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, me and Rudy were designated the two people that were before.
If you don't have time or whatever, I'll no problem.
You know what? I'm having trouble with my arms. I don't know what's happening. Something's going on now.
Okay. Hang on. Jerry.
The board has the right to make a law and...
But the ordinances that are passed by this board are policy. They're law.
Okay. Pertaining to this district.
And pertaining to the district, yes.
Can you set fines for things that are going on in town?
You can. You got to have lots of input on stuff like that. Public hearings. Yeah. But yeah.
You're trying to incorporate the drunk intoxication in that. I see where you're going.
Yeah, but you still have to go through the sheriff, though. The same thing.
And I told the sheriff, no disrespect, you guys do a good job, or the best you can. You're told what to do and what not to do. I said, but the thing is, we were probably better off when we had the old constable system. There was a constable that lived in the area, and there was a deputy constable. And they knew the area because that was their area only.
Well, they knew all the drunks, and they just loaded in the back. They'd drive them 5 miles out of town, and say, walk back. I'm not kidding. That's what constables used to do.
I had an uncle who used to like to tip the bottle, boy, and he got arrested so many times they confiscated his car, threw a chain on the back, a rear axle, and tied it around the telephone pole, and made him walk home. That was at Riverdale.
Well, I know the Carruthers constable used to do that. The Carruthers constable is Margie Min's dad. She grew up the constable's kid, and they did used to just they guys are drunk at the bar, and they load them in the back, and then guys get in a fight, and they would haul them out in the country, drop them off, and say, "You guys figure it out."
Settle it out here.
But that was Mims' father. Back to this. So Rudy and Reyes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an all male, no feminine viewpoints on this until it comes back to the board.
No, we're doomed.
We may be doomed. Okay, so we'll set a time next week.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean,
4:30.
Like he said, 4:30.
I get off at 4:30 in the evening.
So you want to set a 4:30 time?
No, I can say I get off at 4:30.
Okay.
He can't fly.
Want to say 5?
Well, I work at Simone's. I'm working at Simone's now.
Okay.
Part time. So.
Oh, the USDA.
Yeah, and I'm usually
5 days a week.
Yeah, 6 days a week.
Oh, how about
Saturdays included? Huh?
Temporary one right now.
Yeah, it's gonna be like 16 weeks only. Oh, a good Christmas this year.
So.
Whenever time he's ready.
6 o'clock. Put it 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock on which day?
It's okay for you. It's okay for me.
Because you have dry in the morning anyway. That.
I do. All right, 6 o'clock, 23rd, Wednesday.
Wednesday the 23rd.
Session one. Okay, thank you. It'll be good.
23rd, right? Okay, item seven, correspondence and announcements.
We need a motion for that, don't we?
We actually should have a motion. That was an action item.
Oh, okay.
The last one.
Biola Community Service District Policy Update Plan.
Yeah.
Do you have a motion on that?
I think it should come from the women, just my opinion.
We need a motion to do the update?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that.
Yeah, she's doing a motion.
So what would be in the minutes is Reyes and Rudy.
Yeah.
For Rudy and Reyes.
Yeah.
Right, you get together.
I'll bail. And I have a second?
Second.
I know you girls really, 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 really stepped up to the plate.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, guys. anyhow, item seven, correspondence and announcements.
You didn't get the vote.
Oh.
He's ready to go.
I'm ready to go, man. I'm getting tired. Yeah, go. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, item seven. Correspondence and announcements.
Raisin Festival coming up.
Office hours?
Office hours, same.
Okay. Director's comments?
Nothing really to add to the handout.
Okay.
Any questions?
It is 7:10, and we're going out of...
Closed regular, session.
We're going to take a 5-minute recess.
Okay.
Stepping out of a regular meeting, going to closed session in about 5 minutes. Yes?
Can you make a couple of public announcements?
Sure.
The new owners of the gym, I give a quick report on the new owners of the dehydrated refrigeration.
Yeah, the Sawwasser's raised the packing plant and the dehydrator sold.
Who bought it?
Widener Trust, they're pretty big farmers in Madera. The two sons and then the son-in-law, the wife, or one daughter and son-in-law, which is Gillespie, so it's Widener Gillespie and
River Valley. It's got River Valley in there somewhere.
River Valley, yeah. Raisin Dumps.
Haven't got it yet.
Farms. River Valley Raisin Farms.
They haven't got their cards yet, but we're talking to them about being a sponsor on Raisin Day, and we should get a call back tomorrow. But they really want to, you know, be connected to Biola.
Good.
They're really open about getting involved in the community that they're going to have their business in.
I should add.
And I was told this through another long list of Pacquiao, through Nick Pacquiao.
Okay. Yes.
One more tidbit. We're all rooting for the tire guy because obviously it's a great resource to have in town. They went over there and said, we'd like to open up a corporate account. So that was big for him. And so that's good. Those are signs of people that say, hey, we're in the community, we're invested in the community, we want to do commerce in the community. So it looks like they're going to be wonderful property owners and a great asset to the community. I think we're getting blessed.
And to be honest with you, and he's real reasonable with his tires.
Yeah, very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
Jim, it's all public knowledge. What was the sell price on those two pieces?
$7 million.
A drop in a bucket.
Well, for the dehydrator,
pocket chain, chunk chain.
Dehydrator and the raisin packing plant.
Where Carrie's is at.
And Amy, I guess, used to work there. She's going to be running it.
She's she was
managing for them for now.
Secretary.
Well, I should add, Carrie made arrangements with a raisin guy at Fowler to do our 5 acres. And then when these guys bought it, she asked to get out of her contract in Fowler, and she's taken our raisins to the new guy.
National?
She was going to go to National, yeah. But when these guys showed up and she talked to them, she goes, she asked to get out of that contract and run our stuff through these guys.
Oh, the new owners.
The new owners. Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we keep it local?
Yeah, so it's good. It was
a
good deal.
I got to go. One of their issues is not money. They have plenty of money. They have a lot of property just directly right across the river.
Cool. Well, thank you for bringing that up. All right, 5-minute recess?
Yes. Yeah.